Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them. I ask in Jesus' name. Where's my Sunday paper? The irate woman was calling the newspaper office, and the newspaper office employee said, "Madam, today is Saturday. The Sunday paper actually comes tomorrow on Sunday." Well, I'm glad that you were able to set your class ahead and that you weren't able to get here at 8:50 and wondering why everybody was already in church. Because coming to church really is a good work. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about good works and the importance of the good works that we do. And certainly when we talk about good works, the Bible really is talking not just about good deeds, but about doing everything in thought and in action for God. And so the Christian's good deeds are rooted in Christ and have cosmic purposes that God ordained before the world began. Turn, if you will, to our second lesson today from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and it's on page 1816. And I'm going to start a few verses before our reading kicked in here. I'm going to start at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." So Paul is telling the Ephesians that before you became a Christian, you used to live like everybody else in the world. You used to just do what you wanted to do, and you paid no attention to God's commandments. So by nature, you were deserving of God's wrath. But then he goes on to say in verse 4, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Now pay attention to how many times you hear the word grace in the next few verses. "It is by grace you have been saved." Verse 6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Every Christian needs to remember this vital fact, and that is that Christ is the root, and good works are the fruit. Christ is the root, and good works are the fruit. That's the proper order. Christians aren't Christians because they do good works. The Christians are Christians because they believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus, when the disciples asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the work of God?" Jesus replied this in John chapter 6. He said, "The main work we do, what must we do to receive the work, to do the work that God requires us to do?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So the main work that everyone in the world is called to do is to believe in the one that God has sent. To believe in Jesus Christ. And after we first believe in Christ, then we are called to do good works. These works are really our love offering, if you will, to God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 that walking with Christ and doing the works of God really are like a fragrant offering to God, a fragrant offering of self-sacrificial love, if you will. Good works are our means of grace by which we minister to the needs of our fellow believers. So part of the good works that we are to do are to benefit each other as Christians, to help one another and to bless one another in whatever ways we are able to do that. In fact, Paul says this to Titus. He says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." Good works encompasses not only caring for the poor, but behaving in a godly way toward everyone. Good works encompasses not only giving to the work and ministry of the church, but also truly loving those who are within its walls. Good works encompasses not only distributing Bibles to those who don't have any, but seeking to live by the Bible ourselves. There is a signature conduct that the world should see in every true Christian. The world that seeks to criticize us should have its mouth stopped because it sees that kind of new life in us. When it comes to the subject of salvation and good works, people often think that Paul and James are at odds with each other. There are also two serious errors that occur in the church around the world related to salvation and good works. One of those errors says that we need to gain enough merit in order to add to the finished work of Christ on the cross. That his sacrifice wasn't enough. We have to add our good works to that in order to fully receive salvation. Under this view, you never know whether you've done enough good works to get into heaven or not. You never know whether you've done enough to earn God's favor. You never know how to check your merit bank, if you will, to see if you stored up enough. So you just keep on doing good works in hopes that maybe you've done enough good works to get into heaven. Under this teaching, however, that really goes against something that Paul said. Paul, you can never say what Paul said in Ephesians 2 verse 8 when he said, "You have been saved." John in his epistles writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And so the other error that often happens more pervasively in the evangelical churches, and that is the idea that once you are saved, you don't need to worry about doing good works. There's no real correlation between salvation and good works. A person may pray a sinner's prayer or commit their life to Christ as Savior, but there may not be any sign of any good works to follow. A person who prays that sort of prayer later may profess that they are an atheist. But because they've said that prayer initially, some would say that they continue to have that salvation. And certainly that's not really what Scripture says at all. This view fails to realize that salvation requires God's raising a sinner from death to life. And inevitably that results in a changed life. It divorces repentance from saving faith and teaches that saving faith is simply believing in the facts of the gospel. Submitting to Christ as Lord of your life and may follow salvation, but it's not a necessary aspect of saving faith according to this error. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul really puts to rest these two errors when he says this, "For you are God's handiwork." As I've said before, that word handiwork in the Greek language is the word poema, from which we get the word poem. So God is writing his poem through our lives. We are God's handiwork, Paul says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Paul is explaining these previous two verses where he says that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. And he says it's a gift of God. And so as a result, he alone, God alone, gets all the glory. Now, Paul further explains that genuine salvation is entirely of God, and it inevitably results in a life of good works. Sometimes it's said that there is a conflict between Paul and James and over the matter of justification by faith versus works. Both men really are saying the same thing, however. Paul is really approaching it from the idea of a Pharisaical view, which says that you can really do something to earn God's favor by doing the good works that you do. And Paul is saying that, and he argues that no one can ever be good enough to earn salvation. God justifies guilty sinners through faith in Christ alone. But James is attacking the view that a saving faith does not necessarily result in good works. He shows that genuine faith always produces good works. That's precisely what Paul is clarifying in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. While salvation is entirely of God, so also are good works entirely of God. And certainly, because we can't take any glory for our initial salvation, we also can't take any glory for the good works that we do as well. God is behind the entirety of our salvation from beginning to end. Thus, he gets all the glory. Good works would include things like attending church, praying regularly, studying Scripture, giving generously of our financial resources, joining a small group, going on mission trips, caring for the poor, working for justice for the oppressed, loving our neighbors, and so forth. These surely are among some of the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. The good works in verse 10, however, are not obviously religious activities that we kind of tack on to our otherwise secular life. We're not called, friends, to live a secular life. We're called to live a Christian life. So the good works that we do are not just kind of to counterbalance the secular life we're living. We're really to live a Christian life for Christ. Romans verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1 says, "For I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is your spiritual worship, and that's holy and pleasing to God." This offering takes place not just in church, but it takes place throughout our daily lives. Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 3, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, though it's certainly right for us to invest ourselves in the life and ministry of the church and engage in works of outreach to those who are in need, to help those who are oppressed and to help those that don't believe in Christ come to believe in Him, Ephesians 2:10 would encourage us to learn to see that the whole of our lives is really an intertwining of a series of good works that we do in the name of the Lord. That means that your good works can include what you do when you go to work. It could include those things in the classroom or on the golf course or in your neighborhood or in your community associations. Anywhere you are, good works would be included in that. If you're a boss, then you do your good works by managing and treating your employees in the right way. If you're a parent, your good works may include making dinner for your children and perhaps praying for them, praying with them before they go to sleep. The more we grow in our faith, the more we see ourselves as God's workmanship, as God's handiwork. The more we see ourselves as God's masterpieces. And the more we do that, the more indeed we will do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, by His strength, under His authority, and for His purposes. Now, the book of Hebrews also talks about something called dead works. We've been talking about good works, but the book of Hebrews talks about dead works. And by dead works, he's talking about the things that people do that really are contrary to the commandments of God, the will of God, things that people do with the wrong motivation. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between a good work and a dead work. On the outside, quite often, they look quite the same. So we're not sure whether someone is doing a good work or a dead work. They may look the same, but they really have different motives. For example, you can pray, and that could be a dead work or it could be a good work. You can go to church, and that could be a good work or a dead work. You can try to win somebody else to Christ. That could be a good work or a dead work. You can read the Bible. That might be a good work or a dead work. It really depends upon your motivation. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many other wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Prophesying, casting out demons, and performing miracles in the name of Jesus are all outwardly good things. But Jesus will reject many who do these things and other good works. Why? Because their hearts are wrong. These people have the wrong motivations for the things that they do. You see, dead works really are any attempt to find favor and earn acceptance or be made righteous before God by one's own efforts, ability, or willpower. Religion puts the emphasis on doing right, but Jesus and his disciples put the emphasis on believing right, because they say by believing right, you'll end up doing right as a natural consequence. In our gospel lesson today, we see that Jesus cared about the poor, not only about their spiritual needs, but he cared about their physical needs as well. And so Jesus made preparations to provide for those spiritual needs by teaching them, and then ultimately by feeding them as well. And he did so through the efforts of a young boy who came to him with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so that boy was willing to do a good work by giving what he had to Jesus. And then Jesus took that and ended up multiplying it. And that's what Jesus does with our good works. He takes the good works that we do and multiplies that, not only for our blessing, but for the blessing of others as well. So I want to encourage you, perhaps even this week, to begin to look for and discover and then begin to do the good works that God has prepared for you to do. And as you do those good works, then not only will you be blessed, but you may be a blessing to others as well. I want to conclude with a passage from 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we are in fact saved by grace through faith, and that's not of our own. It's a gift from you, not by our works, so that we can't boast. Because, Lord, we're going to give all the glory to you for the salvation that you've given to us. We also want to give glory to you for the good works that you prepared for us to do. Would you lead us by your Holy Spirit into the good works that you have in store for us, even this week? And as we do those good works, may you multiply those things, not only to be a blessing for us, but also a blessing for those to whom we might come in this life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.